Welcome to the Annie Noise Experience. I'm in New York City. 12 hours ago, I was in Bakersfield. Pretty crazy. Took an Uber to the, it's Friday, June 20th or 21st, something like that. I think it's the first day of summer. In fact, Times Square, they were doing yoga, celebrating the summer solstice. There was thousands of people doing yoga. Very strange. But anyways, finally made it. Uber to Bakersfield Airport. Flew into Dallas. Got there early. Of course, the flight was delayed. Hung out in the Dallas airport. Nothing much happening there. Pretty uneventful to LaGuardia. Never been to LaGuardia. LaGuardia is pretty much a mess, kind of like LAX from what I can tell. Lots of construction. Didn't really have any idea how I was going to get to Times Square, which is about 8 miles away. I looked around and, you know, in theory, Lyft was 20-something bucks, but it was really 50, and it was just chaos. So I thought, well, I'll just start walking towards Times Square and figure it out from there. Maybe Lyft would get cheaper. Maybe I'd run into a subway. Walked 3 or 4 miles and then finally found a subway, the N, I think, and it went directly to Times Square. Got out of Times Square at like 7 o'clock at night. Total chaos. Made a good video of it. A little concerned about the race because they want me at 62 miles, 100K in 16 hours. That's 15:30 pace, which is pretty quick considering you only have to do 30 hours for the whole race. So you got to do the first 62 in 16. Then you get 14 hours to do the last 38 miles. You know, I don't know. I don't like that math. I mean, so you can do 20-minute miles the rest of the way in. I know most people die, but I'm more of a walker. So we'll see how that goes. My Airbnb is pretty funky. It's a micro room, and it's literally 4x8, maybe? Maybe it's bigger than a sheet of plywood. Basically a bed. It does have bathrooms, and I'm in this funky neighborhood, and went and got something to drink, went and gotten something to eat. It's now 8 o'clock, 8:30 here, and it's actually 8:50. Still daylight out. 9 o'clock is when it gets dark here. So I've got to get a... But yeah, I'm just kind of, unfortunately with the 3-hour time difference, I'll be starting the race at 2 a.m., starts at 5 a.m. Times Square. Not sure if there's going to be any updates of our results, but if you go on Facebook, they do have a pretty good Facebook, the Great New York City 100. There's a 100K version. I might get DQ'd, or not DQ'd, but might end up having to be pulled at the 100K. Hoping that maybe if I come in late, they'll let me continue on, because I would like to finish this 100. It would be my 20th 100 or further to finish. But you never know. You definitely got all the traffic and streets. It's going to be quite an adventure. It's so funny. I'm on this street right here where it's wall-to-wall cars. And there's actually a Lexus dealer. Like, why would you come down here to look at Lexuses when you can't even... Lexi? When you can't even test drive one. As you can hear all the cars honking and all the mayhem. It was super cool being on the subway. There was kids with their family in graduation outfits going to graduation on the subway. You know, just it's amazing. And I would have taken the bus to the subway, but I couldn't figure out where to buy a card. But I ended up getting, instead of spending 50 bucks with Lyft, I spent $3 and took the subway. Subway, I always like it. So good thing is I'm only maybe half a mile from the start-finish line. They're at a hotel there at the Times Square, so that should be good for me. And I think right now I'm going to go get my little micro room and lay there and hopefully maybe fall asleep for tomorrow. As always, stay healthy, be boring, not epic. Welcome to the Annie Noise Podcast. It's Sunday morning here in New York City. I'm in, I just went and visited the Sir Chamoy 3,100-mile foot race. Got to see the start, and it's like 6:30. I'm walking over to get something to eat for breakfast. Been eventful, but I wanted to start this off talking about Sir Chamoy. My buddy Yolanda was here 2 years ago and finished it. You know, 60 days, 52 miles, pretty amazing. It's just a basic around a block, around a school. I don't know, it's like five, you know, not quite a kilometer. And pretty amazing. It's all concrete. Whew. I'll tell you, like right now, as you can tell, I'm labored.
from my adventure at the great 100K, 100 miler. Got this cough from all dirt and whatnot. Feet are beat up because a lot of streets, a lot of concrete. But I just want to kind of talk about the Sirte Moy. It's very interesting. They all stay in places nearby, I believe, and ride bicycles over. And basically just kind of show up 10 minutes before the race, and they're off. I've got some videos and whatnot. I'm going to go back there this afternoon, you know, after breakfast, and hang out for a bit. I don't fly out of here till 10 o'clock tomorrow. Can't get my Airbnb till later. Definitely interesting to watch them. Amazingly, they kind of just jump right into it and start running along a pretty good clip. But I can see that you want to take advantage of the cooler weather. And they were off from midnight to 6 every day they close the course, which I think is an excellent idea. I need to incorporate that into my multi-day racing if such. One woman and half a dozen guys, I believe, first place male, was 500 miles. The woman was at 400 miles, and it said 8 days. So I'm not sure if this is the, I think it started on a Sunday a week ago. So this might be the 8th day. I think that's what it said. I'll post a photo. My great New York. Basically, I just got lost. I don't know New York at all. Didn't understand a lot of the jargon. So when I'm looking at the cue sheets, I just kind of was blown through. Didn't see some of the markings. Early on, right at the beginning of the race, I messed up in Central Park in the first couple miles. Ended up adding a mile or two to my adventure. Long story, but by the time I got to 45 miles, I'd already added 3 or 4 miles. And, you know, when you're slow like me trying to get to 30, you can't afford to give up, you know, 4 or 5 miles, which is, you know, 17, 18 minute pace. It's a lot of time. And so, a good, fun, entertaining week. I'll talk more about it, but I thought I'd get something out right now. Welcome to the Andy Noyes Experience Podcast. It's Monday, June 24th. Just here at JFK waiting for my plane. Got here way too early. Thought I was going to do some podcast about my race, but I was just too trashed and beat up yesterday. And also a great experience at the Sirte Moy 3100. But it's kind of funny. You get so tired, you can't even think straight. And yesterday was just kind of all about being in a daze. So let me go back to my race, the NYC Great 100 Mile 100K Urban Race, similar to my Los Angeles ones I've done over the years. Done that like 4 times, where you run from Riverside area on a bike path for 30 miles, Huntington Beach, Long Beach, Marina Del Rey. I mean, well, Marina Del Rey, Palos Verdes, and Redondo Beach, and you end up finishing in Santa Monica. And so I thought I was kind of experienced at doing an urban race. This one was very different in that Los Angeles, being a newer city, it's laid out more logically, I think. Not logically, but just, you know, New York, Seoul, and there's so many streets and so many similar sounding streets. And so, and they also, and it was kind of cool. We went, kind of ran from park to park. So there was some trail action and whatnot. So, bottom line is, I, you know, got into New York 5 o'clock in the evening, pretty tired. Took a, walked about 3 or 4 miles, and then took a subway to Times Square. Then found my Airbnb. Worked out good. Airbnb was, you know, 1/2 mile from the starting line. Got up early, 3 a.m. or something. Went to the starting line, hung out there for an hour or two. Big crowd. I got lots of photos. We'll be throwing those up on various social medias. Put a lot of Instagram, Facebook, all Google photos. But big crowd, a lot of people. Talked to quite a few people. Some people I've known from other races. A couple people listened to my podcast, so that was kind of cool. Then the race started, and I was sort of concerned about knowing where to go. I wish I'd gotten a map that I could have put on my phone, but I never did find a file that would work, kind of like Tahoe 200, where you never get lost. So unfortunately, everybody took off, and I was actually running 12, 13 minute miles. But by the time I got to Central Park, a mile or two into the race, everybody was gone. And I was dead last. And there was a bicycle race going on. There's Criterium, and they were going around and around. And that was pretty distracting. A couple hundred guys riding, and they kept coming by. And one way or another, I missed the first turn out of Central Park. When I figured out what had happened, I then just Google mapped Grant's Tomb, because I knew that was mile five, and did kind of a cross-country, cross-city extravaganza. But by the time I got there, I was probably at mile six and way behind everybody. Got under this one area, and I was super confused, already pretty tired. I don't know, somewhere 7 or 8 miles, a guy caught me, Steve, and he had started a half hour late. Of course, I went a mile off, and he didn't really know the course very well either. He's from Long Island, so even though he's way faster than me, he's like a 9 hour, 50 miler, and I'm a 12 hour. He wanted to stay with me. That's when we had the foresty parts, and just markings had been raining a lot, and we just kind of got lost a lot. I hear people got lost a lot anyways. Sometime when we were in the woods, we were on the John Muir Trail, which I thought was kind of funny because, you know, John Muir Trail here in New York. We were looking at, we're trying to read the map to figure out where we were, not map, but the little turn-by-turn guide. It wasn't turn-by-turn, the guide, and I stumbled. I should have just fell, and then I would have been better off, but I didn't, and I tweaked my glute really bad, which is bugging the heck out of me right now. No idea how I'm going to fly home on it, but anyways, long story. We just kind of freelanced it. A lot of times we just kind of would Google map like where the next aid station was and kind of eyeball it. And from time to time we'd run back into the little yellow, light yellow paint. Of course, you know, markings. Thankfully, somewhere, I don't know, in the 20 mile range, there was this out and back section. So we finally saw some people, kind of knew where we were going. We were moving pretty good there. Since we were so far behind, the aid stations were often closing. We were always in dead last. I kept telling the guy with me to keep on going, but, you know, he was kind of concerned about getting lost too. We really got a big screw up. Like at 40 miles, we were somewhere, and it said cross this street, Hoyt, and we just went straight. We crossed the street, but we were supposed to turn right, so we missed that aid station. That was like mile 35 or something, and we're walking up the street, and I realized, like, I go, hey, why are we on 27th? Then again, we realized, oh, crap, we messed up again, so we Google mapped the marina area that we were supposed to be at, and thankfully, when we'd Google map, it usually would bring us back to the path, and we'd get back there. So now we're about mile 40, and I'm doing the math that I'm not going to get. The 100K was supposed to be 16 hours, which is super fast. Like, that's like 16-minute pace. And even if you're – that's to continue, and then 18 was the cutoff for the 100K. He finally took off. I just kind of slowed down. Got in this one part where I was at about 45-mile aid station, and the race director called me, asked me what was going on, and I looked at my watch, and at 45, I was almost to 50 miles. So it was like 4 miles off course. And I told him, hey, don't worry about me. I got my phone. I got a charger. And I decided to just Google map where the 100K was because I was so far behind. And I told him I'd just be cool. So I Google mapped it, and I went through Forest Hills. There was a concert there. It was kind of cool. They were shooting a movie with all these old cars. And I had to actually stop and wait for the production company to water down the roads. And long last, the 18-hour cutoff for the 100K was like 11 p.m. I got there like at 10:45. According to my watch, I had 100K, but it was my own New York City race. Pretty beat up from that, and my hip glutes hurt. Then I had to walk to a mile or so to the subway. Take the subway back to Times Square. Thankfully, I bought a Planet Fitness Black card so I could take a shower at Times Square. And then it's still only like 1 o'clock, so I walk over to Times Square thinking they're finishing right where we started, which they weren't. But then just out of the blue, Seamus from New Jersey, it's like, hey, Andy, like how I ran into him, told me where they are. and the finish line was just kind of on this random block, nowhere really to sit. So I just sat there with one of the finishers, took some videos, just sat on the ground, which, if you know me, I hate sitting on the ground. And I sat there for a few hours, and I kind of come up the idea of, like, that, you know, I couldn't sleep there. I didn't have anywhere to spend the night. But I thought, well, I'm going to go to the Sir Chamoy 3100 start. And I looked on it, and I could take a subway there. And I figured, well, I might as well hang out here till 4 and then take an hour on the subway, and I'll get there before the start at 6 a.m. So we did that, just sat on the ground. Wasn't pretty comfortable. Still haven't fell asleep. I've been up from 3 a.m. Saturday to 3 a.m. Sunday now, and finally went and got on the shuttle, the subway. Subway was pretty good. Unfortunately, when I got to wherever the race was, I think Jamaica, Queens, it's about a mile to the actual event, and there was a big hill, and was moving slow. But the good thing is, and I kind of talked about it a little bit, is I got there about 5:15, 5:30, and I got to see the start, and then I hung out at the race. Had to walk and get something to eat, but I hung out at the race till 1 or 2 when I went back, finally could go to my Airbnb, which is open at 4. So I'll leave you guys there. That was kind of my thing. When I finally got the Airbnb, I just passed out for 3 or 4 hours, thankfully, and feeling much better, and we're just waiting for my plane, which I got a long time, and I'll talk to you guys later. Remember always, stay healthy, be boring, not epic. I'm not quite healthy, kind of tweaked my leg. Big shout out to my buddy Allison for her amazing Broken Arrow race, and I can't wait to talk to her about it. Welcome to the Andy Noyes Experience Podcast. It's Monday evening, June 24th. It's a podcast about endurance noise and random musings. And tonight's more random musings. Man, I got up at 3 a.m., which would be midnight Bakersfield time. Walked a mile or two to a subway. Got to the airport way too early. But better safe than sorry. But, I finally got back to Bakersfield 4 o'clock. So, been up since midnight. So, again, another 16 hours or so. Pretty tired. Trip was pretty ugly. The flight from New York to Phoenix. It's a long one. It's 5 hours. And I had good seat mates, at least. Got an aisle seat. But the people behind me were just out of control. They were bigger than me, couple, and they were either talking the entire time or they're getting up and moving around, banging everything and just being outraged, just absolutely obnoxious. I know I'm just kind of irritable, obviously, from doing my traveling and my race, but I mean, these people just were beyond the pale. Of course, I had the same thing kind of at the airport, so that was kind of brutal. I kind of found a reason, figured out one of the reasons why it's so difficult for me to fly is because I've never had a desk job. I've never sat at a desk all day. They say sitting at a desk is worse than smoking cigarettes. So I know I just sound like I've been smoking cigarettes. You know, one of the few real jobs I have as a teacher, and I was like a lion tamer as a teacher. I never sat at my desk ever. And only my own record store, I was never sitting. And nowadays, never sitting. So sitting somewhere for hours and hours is brutal. I did find some relief by watching the Amazon Prime series Fleabag. Actually watched a few of them. I usually can never watch movies and stuff on a plane. Just can't concentrate. I don't know. But, and then I upgraded my flight from Vegas to Phoenix. Ended up getting a row by myself in the extra room. So that was helpful. Then took a Lyft home. So that was pretty good. Funny, the only lifts I ever took were here in Bakersfield. Lift to the airport and a lift back, because we have almost no public transportation in this town, or it's so bad it's hardly worth trying to use. That's kind of the point of this little discussion, is how I've been to New York now twice, wandered all around that town, middle of the night, all kinds of hours, all kinds of neighborhoods, and it's amazing. With my phone and an MTA card, I can get anywhere I want within reason.
and have no problems. I never fear for my safety, never feel like people are harassing me. Here, you know, it's just a, it's really kind of cool. And I mean, it's just such a diverse background there. But here, you know, in my own hometown, my gosh, you know, I get back here and it's like I'm out of some supplies. I go to my local Smart and Final, I've been going for 30 years. And then like the parking lot's a war zone of urban outdoorsmen and guy passed out laying in front of the place. I mean, I saw more chaos and fear in front of this Smart and Final. And here I am in this red county of Bakersfield Law and Order. And it's totally out of control. You know, it's just very crazy. You know, the guy laying on the ground. It's kind of like a night of living base head. Shout out to Public Enemy in the parking lot. I almost never go there in the evening. I usually go there when they open at 6. But I just had to get some stuff to survive this evening, which I'm out walking definitely slow. So I go into the store. Megas with a gauntlet of zombies in the parking lot, which I didn't have a single person harass me in New York. I maybe had 2 or 3 people hit me up for a dollar here or there. But for the most part, nothing much. You did have one guy falling asleep on the subway, which is no problem. But then he fell out of the bench and then he lit a cigarette. He was smoking a cigarette in the subway. That was pretty crazy. But, you know, I'm walking around like on Saturday night, like at 10 o'clock at night, walking by two women walking their pugs. I won't walk around my neighborhood at night with or without a dog. It's so fucking scary around here. In fact, I'm walking right now and there's people in front of me. And I live in a good part of town. I mean, I was in some parts, I'm sure people would probably see my walking around and go, oh my God, you went walking there, Andy, in New York? But I'm, you know, just, it's pretty chill there. I think it's because it's so expensive to live there. You got to work hard. You can't be giving anybody shit because you're just trying to make a living. And, you know, just all the diversity is really a strong thing. I don't know what it is. So anyways, I go to Smart and Final and I immediately see a bunch of guys in there ripping shit off. This one dude, he's pushing a shopping cart and I can see him fidgeting around with his jacket, which is like, it's 98 degrees out. Why the fuck do you have a jacket? Anyways, especially in a grocery store, the people working there, of course, are completely oblivious. And this guy is, you know, I saw him 2 or 3 times shoving shit in his backpack that's under his jacket and he's pushing a cart. And I was going to say something to him, to the people possibly, not that they can do anything or going to do anything. And you kind of feel bad because people wearing the registers are young people and they're not going to be confronting this dude. So I get there and a nice guy in front of me, looked like he was working the oil fields, get himself some dinner. Notice he had a Pizzaville tattoo. His family owns this Pizzaville place. Shout out to Pizzaville. Great pizza, potato wedges, chicken. And talked to him a bit. And when he walked away, I was going to just say something to the cashier, like, hey, that dude over there, long black hair, jacket, pushing a shopping cart, he's got a backpack full of food. But wouldn't you know, as I'm getting rung up, dude rolls up behind me. So now what I'm going to do? So I'm like, oh. So I pay for my stuff. He's got a cart. He's pushing a shopping cart with his jacket over the place you put a baby. And he hands her the 7-Up Sprite bottle, and that's what he's going to buy. And she goes around, because it's a policy of Smart and Final, they have to scan your carts. So whenever I have big, heavy things in, I always leave it in the cart because I got to scan every cart. She goes around to scan a cart, and the dummy left a bag or two of Oreos or something in the cart. So I already buying them. He's like, oh, no, I'll put those back. Then he pays for the Sprite and walks out the store. And I'm like, I live in this neighborhood, so there's no way I can just rat this guy out right in front of it. But I go outside. The police are now here for the guy who's passed out on the ground, head all bleeding. And all the cops in Bakersfield know me because they see me walking all the time. And I kind of just, as the guy was walking through the parking lot, rolled up to the cops. And they're doing their job. And they're like, I go, dude right there just walked out with a whole backpack full of groceries. And they're like, man, we got to take care of this guy. You know, we called an ambulance on him. He's kind of our responsibility now. And he goes, and plus, it's up to what Smart and Final wants to do. And I go, yeah, I get it. You know, it's just what shit happens. So then I thought, well, I'm not going to go in and tell the manager of Smart and Final, but because I figured I'd probably get him in trouble. So I went back in and talked to the young gal that was on the register. And I said, you know that guy behind me? So I go, which one? I'm like, wait, don't, the guy that bought the Sprite. Yeah. I go, he had a backpack full of food under that jacket in his cart. I mean, didn't you think it was odd that he was pushing a cart around to buy a 20-ounce Sprite? And she's like, man, they're going to look at the videos and see him stealing shit. And I go, he walked past me like three times. I saw him shoving shit in that backpack. So I go, that's why prices are high. So anyways, just kind of a, this is definitely not endurance noise. It's more random musings or random rants. But I just don't know. It's kind of crazy that I feel safer in the Big Apple than in Nashville West.